Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Well, they said change gonna come, and it's happening with our Falcons. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
We hope you're having a great day. Look, we have to turn the page, and we're going
to
do this
tomorrow. I'm not ready to turn the page.
I know. We're going to do it tomorrow, though, because we'll be up at Flowery Branch. Mm-hmm. Mike and I will get a chance to talk to Coach. We'll have our player segment as well. But right now, coming off of yesterday and how maddening it was to watch what we watched on Sunday, there are changes going on. So, Mike, let's just kind of go down the list of things that have transpired here. First and foremost, the OC is moving from the booth up top down to the field. We now know, and you'll hear Dave Archer talk about Michael Penix coming up here in less than 10 minutes in regard to the things he's trying to assess and process to get our team and the offense moving. It's not just all on Penix. There's a lot at that's going on. We'll get to it. First and foremost, OC's moving. Okay, that's good. And I like that. Communication is great. All right, that's going to be better. Then we find out that yesterday evening, the firing of Ike Hilliard, the passing game coordinator for the Falcons. TJ Yates is going to take on that responsibility. He's in the building already. But part of this is, and a lot of people have been saying, this is part of the fact that our wide receivers and our tight ends have not caught a touchdown in three games. What's going on? We need to change that. Okay, somebody's got to pay the price. That's the situation. And you feel like that is a scapegoat
move.
Yeah,
I mean, when I first heard it, you'll hear Arch kind of break it down. There's a lot of blame. Who's to blame? There's
a lot of blame
to go around. Penix is not seeing the receivers when they are doing their jobs. How often are the receivers actually doing their jobs, running the right routes, and getting open? How often is the offensive coordinator getting the plays in a timely fashion so the quarterback can then evaluate what he's supposed to try and do? And it's just his sixth start in this case, and it turns out to be his worst game as a pro. Now, some of these things are beyond Zach Robinson or Ike Hilliard's control when Michael Penix Jr. is standing flat-footed and just delivering terrible passes, you know, and trying to get his guys killed in the flat when he's getting the ball coming out way late. But the things that we've talked about, what's going on when teams are going with a too high safety? They're trying to take away some of the things we're trying to do. It's not impossible. That's the first team crawl in the history of football to use too high safeties. But in the case of Penix Jr., why are we not executing? Why isn't Pitts more involved? Why are we showing more imagination? So my first reaction as a Falcon fan was, well, this is akin to the Braves firing a third base coach. It's window dressing. It's trying to send a message to Arthur Blank. Well, we're not messing around. There's a sense of urgency here. Now, if Ike Hilliard is asleep at the wheel, as I said to you earlier, and he's really not got his guys doing the job, I guess he's got to go. But what the heck happened last year when we had nearly 2,000-yard receivers? He wasn't a problem then. So to me, it smacks a little bit of window dressing, a little bit of a scapegoat, but we'll ask Coach a little bit more about it tomorrow.
Now, I said earlier, and I will repeat this, this is where I will defend Ra. Now, I don't know if it works. We got to wait to see. But he's not waiting to change things. And last year, many of you, including Mike, were saying, we got to make quarterback change. We got to make quarterback change. They waited too long. This year, think about what's already happened. Now, again, don't know if this is good or bad. If we go to the playoffs, this will all be so in the past, we won't even care. But if we don't, then we're going to wonder about some of these things and what was transpiring inside the building and who knew and why didn't we do things sooner. He's not waiting around. I commend him for this. Mike, we get to the first game of the season. Koo, who had been wobbling all last year, he's gone. And by the way, they signed a kicker to the practice squad, Ben Sauls, today. Mm-hmm. He was on the Pittsburgh Steelers during the preseason. Doesn't make the team because Chris Boswell is a really good kicker. But he was the guy they brought in for competition, made a bunch of field goals in the preseason. He is now on the practice squad for the Falcons. But Ra is not waiting to say, you know what, this will get better. The kicking situation, they changed. Okay, guy, went 0 for 2 last week. We're going to bring in another kicker. This offense is dysfunctional right now. I'm not going to wait, Mike, to say this will get better. If they feel like, and obviously they did, that Ike Hill was part of the conversation or the reason why this is not being successful, and we don't have any touchdowns from our wide receivers, I'm not going to wait. That's where I will defend him. But I don't know if it works. That's my thing. This is fine. I'm glad you're making moves, but I don't know if it works.
Right. I mean, we've been under the impression that Mooney's been dealing with a shoulder injury. Is Mooney able to do the things you're asking him to do? You know, I mean, Casey Washington was a nice alternative. He's been in the concussion. Was it 2 weeks of the concussion protocol?
Yes.
Either way, he's been out.
Yes.
Drake London and Penix had this unbelievable chemistry. We talked about it all, you know, summer camp and preseason. And now that doesn't exist. I think Pitts has been open. You'll hear what Arch has to say because he would agree. He's not seeing Pitts when he's open. So what's and the verbiage and the language of the playbook, it's just a lot of stuff going on. I don't want to belabor the point because I know I talked about it last week and the week before. This is more about the front office screwing up the kicker thing. You knew you had a problem. Koo was leaking all last season, and you don't bring in real competition. You should have brought in a Ben Sauls this year. You know, he was kicking, as you said, in Pittsburgh. That's the type of guy. Established college kicker with a good rep and have some real competition, not a guy who's kicked in some German league that no one even knows what it is. So here we go again. And as we said, you sort of set the tone in motion for everything that went wrong in one of the worst Falcon losses in the last 10 years when the kicker misses one early. And then, oh boy, you got no confidence for the long one. He can't make that one either. So that's another thing, Carl. A lot of games down this stretch, including this Commanders game, is probably a one possession game.
Oh, no
and
doubt.
Here we go again.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. That's the phone number. 404-726-0929. With all of this happening, feels a little dysfunctional. A little bit. The perception
to me.
The perception outside of Atlanta, right? It may not feel that way completely to you. Maybe you're like, hey, they're just trying to change things. They're trying to fix things. But how people perceive this. I want you to hear Mike Florio talk about these Falcons personnel moves. And this is what he said about it.
Atlanta Falcons are rearranging the deck chairs, it feels like, on the Titanic. It just shows you how quickly things can change for a team. On top of the world. Beat the Vikings, shut them down. Great defense, offense, running game, going passing game. Yeah, but we didn't really need it. It'll be fine. And then they go to Carolina, and they get completely splattered. I mean, if somebody had told me on Friday, hey, the final score of the Panthers-Falcons game is going to be 30-0, I would have written a pretty big check if I were one to wagering that would be the Falcons on the right end of it because the Panthers aren't going to win that game 30-0. No way. No way. So look what happens. Boom. Right away. Zach Robinson, offensive coordinator, moving from the booth down to the sideline. Oh, yeah, that'll fix it. And then Ike Hilliard, receivers coach, he's out. TJ Yates has taken over his duties. It just feels like a reaction. I don't know if it's an overreaction. Maybe the overreaction would have been to just fire Raheem Morris. I don't know how upset Arthur Blank was after that game.
Now, Mike, that's not us. That's a guy that has a national audience who says, hey, this is what it feels like, what's going on in Atlanta. He may be completely off base, but that is what's being said, whether it's fair or unfair. And look, people in the Falcon organization, we know you guys listen. Fair or unfair, that's what people are saying about
right.
this.
I mean, there's just a level of dysfunction. And that's why I said this to Carl to start the show today. Sorry I was off yesterday. But it's like in our own city, we have to defend everything about this organization because we have so many fans who have been burned so many times. So many fans who, like right now, are hitting us up on social media, on the text line. I'm over this team. Here we go again. This is just showing you that Ra was a bad hire. This franchise doesn't know where it's going. The kicking is an example of the franchise, bigger picture. So this, you don't have any trust built up in part of the fan base. And this doesn't help it. I mean, this was a game, of all the games we looked at in that first quarter of the season, I liked certainly our chances to go up there and win against the Panthers. You picked them, and we just lay an absolute egg. Defense was good, not great. I mean, defense didn't get the pressure they needed, but you can't blame the defense when he's throwing pick sixes and setting them up on the 20.
Yeah. This was the thing I least expected. I expected us to at least score some points. I expect. Let me put this in perspective. And we talked about this yesterday because like my temperature is now at a 6 or 5. Okay, it was 9 or 10 yesterday, and rightfully so. We didn't get in the red zone, not once. I didn't expect that, Mike. I didn't expect us not to have an opportunity to at least punch one in and get a touchdown. We didn't even get a chance to talk about, hey, maybe we should go for it on 4th and 6. You know, we're down there. Let's go ahead and try to get one. We didn't even do that. That's how bad this was.
Right. This was, like I said, it's we've seen some really bad beatdowns. This one is up there. And now, how do you fix it? Because, you know, as we said, can you streamline the playbook? You'll hear Dave Archer's great breakdown of what's going on, what's not working, what needs to work. But, Coach, this is it. Because Arthur Blank is not going to tolerate much this much longer. I will agree with Mike Florio, Carl, from Pro Football Talk with that.
Yeah.
I mean, the next guy getting fired is going to be the head coach.
Well, you only get so many of these kinds of moves, right?
Right. There's only so many assistants you can get. Well, and
here's the deal. Listen, there may be some validity to this. We will know Sunday. Seriously, we're going to find out Sunday. Because there's only so many of these moves that you can make. But here's the other side of this. And this is what we're hoping. By no stretch is are Mike and I sitting here or talking to you guys as we do every day. And thank you for being here, listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. And telling you we don't want to go to the playoffs. We're not sitting here telling you that we want this team to fail. We're not sitting here and telling you, damn, we don't want Rod to succeed. We need all of that. But when you play the way you played on Sunday, it just diminishes your ability to believe that that's going to actually happen when you can be so good one week and be so bad the next. The best teams in this league, and we're not one of them right now, is consistent. They're consistent. Good teams do not get in the red zone. They do not have opportunities not to score. The things that we're doing and the self-inflicted wounds, that stuff doesn't happen. So we want the best, but, man, it's hard right now when you see what happened on Sunday.
Rookies are going to have games like that. But, I mean, this was so awful on so many levels for Michael Penix. Hopefully he just burns the game tape, shakes it off. But, I mean, there's things out there, and Dave Archer will explain to you that, yes, there are people that are getting open. That is happening. It's not like, you know, the Carolina Panthers, I said to Carl, the 4-6 defense with the 85 Bears, and they shut down everything. There is a counterpunch. I don't like Zach Robinson's play calling. I mean, look, we're going to be running out of the pistol. That's just it. So I can't complain anymore about, you know, having him under center and having some play action. But you've got to execute. So streamline the playbook. We can't have timeouts. You know, the way it shows you, it makes because that makes you look around the NFL like you don't know what you're doing. Right from the play call, so now having the offensive coordinator on the sideline, hopefully better communication. Got to get some results because the Commanders are coming in here banged up.
Yeah, we
might not see Jaden Daniels again.
Yeah, this is.
I'm watching.
We are. This is an opportunity to take advantage of a team that we may not see at full strength. Certainly without their best quarterback. All right, we're coming back. Dave Archer explains what Michael Penix is having to do, from his opinion. About this whole play calling, getting the play in situation. Stay there. It's fascinating. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
It is Dukes and Bell. We got college football news to tell you about. Major injury for quarterback.
All the news coming out of Oklahoma today, really.
It's true. We'll tell you about that coming up here in about 10 minutes. Also, we will talk about last night's game. Very entertaining. And the Lions showed us a little something with their offense. Now, as we've been talking about the Falcons here on the show, Dave Archer is the analyst for Atlanta Falcons. You hear him and Wes Durham. Wes
Drewham
call the games. And he joined us earlier today, and this is interesting because we all have our opinions about what's happening, what's going on, and we said, okay, Arch, from the perspective of this offense not working right now, okay, it's not working, what is really going on? And we asked him that, and Mike, he started his response with, let's start first with the guy under center, but he expounds on this. Listen to what Dave Archer told us.
Yeah, I think that the thing that you want to look at is, first of all, the operation of the quarterback. Okay, so, I mean, obviously that's where the focal point of this thing is. And Michael didn't play well Sunday. I mean, no Phi Beta Kappa needs to tell you that. So when you dive in, okay, what got him so uncomfortable in the game here? Certainly Carolina didn't do anything from a defensive standpoint that was overly complicated. So what are we doing that's complicating his opportunities to be successful? So the first place you look at is obviously the play and getting the play to him. I know there's been a lot of conversation about communication to the quarterback.
Right.
Why is that paramount? Okay. So I've got a young quarterback that's essentially a third of the way through his rookie season. Okay. If you stay along with me there, he's played six games. So I didn't know whether I was coming or going after six games. So I am sympathizing with Mike in this situation. Okay, so the play comes in and I get a little bit of the play, whether I can hear the play or not. I'm not sure. I'm a little scattered on that as to whether I can get the play. Okay, the play's coming in at maybe 15, 12 seconds left on the play clock. Okay, or a little before that, because obviously their communication to him cuts off at 15 seconds. So he now is either he only got part of the play and he's got to disseminate in his mind, okay, what's the second half of the play, which he knows, but it's a really wordy system, so I've got to get it out to the players. So if you go into Michael's mind, he's just trying to get people lined up. And this is kind of what I started seeing potentially in this game, was we were in such a hurry to get to the line of scrimmage with the play being called in the huddle that he gets to the line of scrimmage and he's just trying to get people lined up. It's not that he's processing what the actual call is. He's just trying to get guys on the line of scrimmage.
Okay,
I've got pre-snap movement. I've got to get guys lined up. Guys, somebody's asking a question of where I need to go. I'm trying to get him lined up. And he's not even looking at the defense to decide, okay, is this going to work against this defense? Do I need to can it? Do I change it to the other side? Do I change the protection? Where am I going to manipulate this coverage? Which side of the ball, which side do I look at? That's a young dude, man. It's only played six games in this league, trying to go through that process of trying to process the play and not having, he says, screw it, I'll just figure it out when I get the ball in my hands. And that's right. What it felt like in
right.
the game,
because right.
he He's got everybody lined up, or thrust the line of scrimmage, got everybody lined up, and now I've got the ball in my hands. Now I've got to figure out what the hell to do with the ball, right? And so this game is played at light speed for a quarterback when the ball snapped. Normally, and I'm talking about 90% of the time, maybe it's a greater percentage than that, the ball has to come out inside of 3 seconds. He's got to get the ball out, okay? And he's got fire breathers coming at him to try to put him on the ground. So I'm just trying to put the fan in perspective of what Michael's thinking and how you can – and I'm not saying he panicked, but you could tell that there was a little bit of rattledness to him in this game that we hadn't seen prior to. I think that contributes to maybe the lack of some of what we're seeing, lack of execution-wise. Then you double down on that. Okay, how are my routes being run? Are we getting the proper spacing? Are we getting the proper depth on our routes? I'm not seeing that either. I'm seeing guys not with a sense of urgency running the routes that they need to run them with. You can't lollygag off the ball. Again, this game is played at light speed. I need you blowing off the ball. Make them think you're going to run by them and then come back. Create some separation for me. And then your spacing has to be good. If I'm stretching them horizontally down the field, I need a guy blowing the top off. I need the intermediate guy. I need those guys underneath. And they need to be at the proper depth to stretch the defense the proper way. If I'm manipulating them horizontally, I need that spacing from sideline to sideline that creates those holes that I can throw the ball in. If you're not doing that efficiently, you're muddying the water for me as a quarterback. I can't figure out where the hell to go with the ball. So all this stuff, guys, piles together. There's not one guy that's to blame for this kind of stuff. Michael's missed some guys too, guys.
Right.
That's a real deal. I know Mike's talked about that a little bit. Again, this weekend on the opening drive, Kyle Pitts comes clean on a seam route. I know that if you go back and look at the tape, Michael would love to go back and replay that one play. It's probably a 40-yard touchdown right down the pipe. And he missed it because is he being harried because he's rushing to the line of scrimmage because of whatever's going on with the play? Is the spacing incorrect? Are guys asking him questions about where do I line up because they're not listening? All that kind of stuff can contribute to dysfunction on the offense, and that is the proper word that you saw for Sunday was a dysfunctional offense. And it doesn't just go to the offensive coordinator, doesn't just go to the quarterback. It goes to everybody that's lined up that has a bird on the side of their helmet. Having Zach on the sidelines where I can look him face-to-face as a quarterback, and this is something Michael got when he was in college. Again, you're trying to make the young quarterback feel as comfortable as he can. Now he can talk. He can have those intimate conversations. They can look at the pad together. It's not I'm upstairs and he's downstairs and say, hey, do you see this on the pad? I'm pointing at this. They can physically communicate with one another. And then when the play, when your headset cuts out at 15 seconds to talk to the quarterback, I'm on the sideline. If I'm Zach Robinson, I need to get another piece of information to him inside of 15 seconds. I can literally yell it to him on the field. Okay, so there's that intimate conversation that you can have that's face-to-face. And I think that anybody that has communication in whatever walk of life, when you can see somebody face-to-face and you can talk to them face-to-face, that conversation is much more deep and much more felt than somebody talking to you on the phone or talking on a headset.
Agreed. This is why having our offensive coordinator, and those are the words of Dave Archer, analyst for the Atlanta Falcons, having our coordinator on the sidelines should be better. But when you get shut out, you never pass the 30-yard line. Last season, the Panthers gave up the most points in the NFL. And you come out and you do this. It makes everybody wonder, one, about Penix, which completely is understandable, but I feel like we have a better sense of that. I'm not worried about the kid. He's going to grow. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, what is this offense, and what is it going to be, and how effective can it be? And that is what has to get fixed this Sunday.
Right, and that's why, you know, the whole interview is online, guys, at Odyssey.com. Get the app, man. Use it in your car, anywhere you go. But we asked Archie about it. So you got to simplify it. Make this thing. And we're not saying dumb it down. Because Michael, you know, you've heard Michael on the show. It's not like, you know, this is something where he's being overwhelmed. But there are things, as Art just laid out.
That's right.
The sequence of events, it's not working. The play's coming in late. There's too much language in the play. Guys don't know where they're supposed to be. Guys aren't where they're supposed to be running their routes. He's not getting the ball out. Look, there's nothing you can blame Zach Robinson or Ike Hilliard when Michael Penix stands for flat foot and throws the ball out in the flat. I mean, that's also just that. And that's the first time he's looked at all like that. So we knew there were going to be some lumps. I didn't expect the Falcons to go undefeated, but I didn't expect us to lose to Carolina 30-0. So you got to tighten this up because we got 1-3 with a bye week is coming. Then it's Buffalo. A couple guys hit us up on the text line saying Zach Robinson's already been linked to the Oklahoma State job. Now that Mike Gundy, we're going to talk more about that coming up in a little bit. Well, I don't know anything about that, and I hope he's not distracted by it. I can't speak to that. But one thing for sure, we've got to demystify this offense and pronto. And Kyle Pitts has got to be involved.
Yeah, Mike, the college opportunity, and again, we don't know what coaches' aspirations are. And we're talking about not just Zach, period. Like, right. These jobs come about. He played quarterback there, guys. And listen, it would be great. I think it's always an honor when your alma mater calls Mike and says, hey, you're in the coaching business. Would you be interested? But I have to believe that Zach Robinson wants to be in the NFL. Maybe he doesn't. But I can't worry about that. You know what I'm more concerned about? Don't let that be another distraction to take us away from being the best offense that we can be this week and beyond. As long as he's here, I'm expecting 100% and full focus as long as he's our guy. But I understand those rumors being out there with Oklahoma State. It makes total sense.
Well, I mean, like we said, we joked around a couple years ago, long time now, Jim Mora Jr. goes on the radio in Seattle and talked about, well, you know, UW's kind of my dream job, and Arthur Blank's, well, take it. Get fired. But that's not, again, that's what I just guys heard that, so they were getting a little nervous about that. Look, we know we got some great weapons here. So why aren't we utilizing it? We wasted all this first-round draft picks on these stars. Mm-hmm. To go up there and lay that kind of an egg, that's why Falcon fans are losing their minds. So whether Ike Hilliard was apparently not doing his gig, but last year he was doing his gig, either way, if that's to send a message or T.J. Yates can do it better, you know, Ron knows where this is at, Carl. We said it earlier. You got to fix it. Then on top of all that, if we all do our job and play well, we have no guarantee we can make extra points this week.
Yeah. All right, the numbers bear it out. You think stats are for losers? Okay, well, I got some stats for you when we come back. And also, we will talk about Oklahoma front and center. Coach fired, now quarterback hurt. There's a lot of stuff going on in college football we got to fill you in on. Stay right there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim. This is incredible.
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go. This time for real.
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mike, let's talk about college football because today on our pre-show, and we invite you to check us out, around 11:15-ish every day or so, take you behind the scenes of what's going on with the Dukes and Bell show as we talk about things amongst ourselves on the show, Day-Day and Big O. And we were talking about, you know, Georgia's common opponents now, and the ACC yesterday made the decision to go to 10 games and the 9 opponents and, you know, playing out of conference. Look, all of this is ultimately trying to get more playoff teams. That's what this is.
Right.
So, but let's talk about the common opponents. And for Georgia, I think this made sense, right?
Well, I mean, Georgia's, you could argue, with South Carolina, we always knew that it was going to be Auburn was going to go anywhere. And we figured, you know, that Tennessee would be in the – Florida would be in the mix, or Tennessee. So it's Florida and Georgia, your old rivalries. And then, not as I said earlier, I wanted to get back to Shane. I was talking ish about the program. But you feel like South Carolina's a little bit easier. So almost everybody has two alphas and maybe one beta.
Yes.
Unless, of course, you're Tennessee, in which case you've got Vandy, Kentucky, and Alabama. It's one – no, because Vandy's up right now. But
it is.
Historically, not really.
No. Look, sustainability for them is always going to be hard. It's a great story right now, and I'm enjoying watching them. It's fun. We'll see how the season goes. Kentucky right now, Mike, you know, it's absolutely up and down, and I don't think Stoops is long to be there. But either way, I thought for Georgia this made sense. You mentioned Texas has A&M and Oklahoma. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so that makes sense. And LSU has A&M and who? Arkansas?
Right.
I believe.
Yeah, because LSU, they never really had that rival. Remember, they had that natural rival. They tried to make it a rival with Florida. Florida was still like, why are you making us play LSU all those
sense.
Years, right?
It didn't make sense. No. So that is out there. Meanwhile, OU, while we're talking about college football, John Mateer undergoing hand surgery. Brent Venables saying he will return potentially 3 to 4 weeks. When this first hit maybe an hour or so ago, everybody was like, how long is he going to be out? Is this a season-ending injury? Because OU right now, Mike, they look like a real contender, but this is the reason why. They got the quarterback.
A kid from Washington State that came over with his offensive coordinator, and as we said, not a kid, he's a man. Guy's just been making plays with his legs, with his arms, so going to be out for a minute, and we'll see how, you know, Brent Venables leaning that defense. Easy for us to say it's Brent Venables, but still, that's a huge hit for Oklahoma coming off. I thought, by the way, Auburn, I know I was off yesterday, I didn't get to bellyache about it. Auburn gets totally screwed in that game.
They did.
A fumble, which they go back and look at and say it's not a fumble, which, again, is SEC officials not having the balls to make a hard call at home, you know, against the home team. And that's basically, to me, what that was. But either way, I think, you know, there's no such thing as a moral victory for Auburn, but that's one that, you know, Hugh Freeze and company got to be upset about.
Length matters.
I hear you, buddy.
Both sides.
Yeah.
By the way, Texas A&M, we're talking about the rivalries.
Yeah.
Texas, Missouri, and Arkansas. So that's not too bad. But you look at, you know, some of these other ones, and you're saying, okay, what if you are, like, for instance, Florida, Georgia, LSU, and South Carolina. You know, we talked about, like, the old rivalries. Nowadays, if you're Florida, by the way, when does Florida, and I asked you this earlier, Billy Napier, you think he makes it at the end of the season? They can beat Texas, and then all of a sudden it's almost like last year, and he can get on a run.
Well, so here's the deal.
But Lagway's apparently walking around in a walking boot again this week in Gainesville.
First of all, he hasn't been good. He hasn't been good all season. And I'm talking about Florida's quarterback DJ Lagway. But, Mike, do you get this false hope if they do beat Texas and you start saying, okay, we're turning the corner? Because that's what you thought last year, and then you start the season off the way you did this year.
Right.
It's this roller coaster of false hope that you're getting with Billy Napier. When are things going to even out? When are things going to be what we expected? And I just don't know. Like Florida, I know that they held on last year and it felt like the right decision. They didn't rush to judgment. They stayed the course. But, man, I mean, like, the expectation of what Billy Napier is expected to do and where they're at is two different things. And I get it. If you beat Texas, everybody's like, see, we're better. But I feel like it's false. I won't believe that they're that team.
I got to figure there's a lot of folks. The way they lost to USF, the undisciplined play at times, the things that have happened with Lagway, almost like he's regressing before the injury. You're right. Yeah, LSU, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Texas A&M. You know, we talked about the annual matchups. But, yeah, for Georgia, seems like it's fair. Auburn, Florida, South Carolina. But you wonder, when does Florida – because right now, you, as a Florida fan, take it all the way back to the 80s before Spurrier got there.
Yep.
You feel like you did when it was like, what, Charlie Peller, Galen Hall, all these guys, Emmitt Smith, are going to the NFL, but you can't win anything.
Can't win.
And then Spurrier comes in and revitalizes it.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike and I will be at Grindhouse on Lumpkin on Friday, guys. We will be breaking down plenty of Georgia and Bama. A great conversation today with Connor Riley. If you missed it, go check it out, odyssey.com. It's online. And make sure you subscribe to Dukes and Bells and see all of our content, all of our interviews. But he was talking about some of the things that he feels like Georgia has to do as they've been getting ready for Alabama. This is not – look, the spread says as much. Now, it's not always right, but it's right a lot.
Three and a half.
Yeah, and the spread is saying this is going to be a closer game than maybe most people think.
Two great wide receivers after you saw Tennessee's wide receivers get behind Georgia's secondary. That's what Vegas – I mean, because and these are brands.
That's right.
So you got that going on. We talked about it with Connor. You can rewind on the Odyssey app, catch the interview with Connor Riley from Dog Nation. But try to crank up that heat because all of a sudden, you know, Simpson feels comfortable back there, right, for Alabama at quarterback. So this will be interesting. I think that Georgia and Bobo, I don't think I've got anything to complain about after that Tennessee game. Same kind of gameplay, maybe a little more emphasis on the run this time against Bama,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of my keys as we head towards the weekend. Because, again, I think time of possession will matter in this game. You're not trying to give Alabama a bunch of possessions, Mike, with those explosive receivers. You're trying to limit that. All right, I said I had some numbers for you before we get out of here. Turtle's out there. I just saw him. He's got the night show coming up. As we've been spending a lot of time on the Falcons, I just want to give you a couple of numbers. And we started the show talking about this, according to our guys at PFF. Our offense has had one pass attempt from under center. Okay. One pass attempt from under center. So Michael Penix has not been under center. Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about, guys? For the guys that aren't the biggest football fans, in other words, he's not in shotgun. He's backpedaling after getting the snap.
93% pass rate out of the shotgun formation. Now, the reason why these numbers are important, and we laid this out earlier, just bear with us, 70% run rate out of the pistol formation. Fourth lowest play action pass rate in the NFL. And the lowest deep pass rate in the NFL. So if you go through these numbers, what it tells you is we don't throw the ball deep, which means we're not scaring teams down the field. Fourth lowest play action pass rate means we don't run play action because we haven't been successful in attempting to do that. Because why, Mike? You say we're not under center, which is part of it. I agree. The other part of it is, guys, you can't run play action when you don't have the defense believing that you're going to do it, meaning you only run play action when you're really successful running the football. Right? We've only done that against the Vikings, and that was pretty much Bijan. So then you go, all right, 70% run rate out of the pistol formation. So guess what defenses say? 70% when they go pistol, what are they doing?
They're throwing it.
They're running it. Run rate.
My bad.
Right? 93% pass rate out of the shotgun. When you're in the shotgun, what are you doing? They're throwing it. What we're telling you is this is predictability.
But that's the thing. He's got the familiarity with the shotgun and the pistol from his time at Washington. We think he's a guy that could play. That's why I asked Arch about it, you know, a few weeks. I'm not going to – look, I don't think Zach Robinson is going to reinvent the wheel here.
Neither do I.
Not this week. If anything, less is more. But that's why when we said, why can't you have this man under center, the play action, because the run game is so evolved under this team with Bijan and Tyler, even with Elijah Wilkinson, we're running the ball effectively. So why don't you allow – that should make it easier for him. But it just seems to me like they're not going to – they're going to go with what he knew from college, which to me is just – it's a disservice because – You're not maximizing your best skill right now, which is to run the football, while these receivers figure it out.
While they figure it out, the others.
Ike Hilliard got fired because apparently they weren't figuring it out.
The other stat is our quarterback Michael Penix, 605 yards, one touchdown in three games. One touchdown in three games. That just doesn't add up. He's played in eight games, six of them starts. Right, that was his sixth start last Sunday.
Right.
In those six starts, he's completed almost 60% of his passes for 1,300 yards and four touchdowns and five interceptions. But you go, this season, he's only got 600 yards. Mike, a majority of that came against the Bucs. He damn near threw for 300 yards against the Bucs. So this is a microcosm, again, of what's going on with this offense. You can tell me these numbers don't matter. I'm telling you, formations and tendencies, trust me.
That's why, again, I was going round and round with a couple of listeners a few weeks ago. What's your obsession with play action? Because I think it works. I think you got a guy who's really accurate. Now, right now, he's for some reason not seeing his receivers. I think Dave Archer, if you missed the conversation, Carly said, by the time he's getting up to the line of scrimmage, his mind is like literally, you know, it's like the scene from The Big Lebowski, you know, where he's like, you know, he's trying to process all this. So Zach Robinson's got to simplify things, streamline stuff. I don't know, hopefully maybe TJ Yates with his input now in the passing game with the receivers gets more out of it. If it doesn't, well, then, you know, then I don't know who Coach Rod turns to next. But you've got to get this offense going the right way. Defense wasn't great in Carolina. Mm-mm. You can't fault them when the field gets flipped or there's a pick six.
Yeah, it was hard. And Mike, to Arch's point about that, getting guys set, making sure guys in the right position, motion. All right. By the way, play clock's ticking down. I think the play where he throws it to the flat for the pick six was an example of that. There was all this stuff going on, and then guess what? Ready? Ball's hiked.
I'll just do a check down. I'm going to check it down outside.
Correct. Oh, crap, it's not there. And the DB's just waiting, right? That's an example. And again, that happens, guys, like that.
And again, we talk – I mean, one thing about Michael Penix, I've never seen him look like that, where he's just – it's almost like, I'll just flat-footed over. You can't – he knows. Balls are your feet. Your ball's got – you've got to turn, get some zip on that pass, even with his arm. So, look, it's 1-2, 1-3 if you lose to the Commanders. Commanders are banged up.
Good time to meet them.
I mean, but this is what I said to Carl. I go, meanwhile, we're going to continue this fiasco of the kicking game and see who's going to be the kicker in what could be a one-possession game.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because they did sign Ben Sauls today to the practice squad. He was an undrafted rookie who signed with the Steelers in the offseason, went through camp with the Steelers, and made 5 of his 6 field goals attempts in the preseason, made all his extra points. That's the only sample size we have. That's why I'm giving that to you. But, Mike, he is now on our practice squad. And, again, I think this is just an example of Ross saying, we're going to continue to bring guys in. I thought O made a great point. They brought in 6 guys originally after the coup debacle. All those guys worked out. You know, we went with Romo. He got the job. But this was another guy probably kicked really well. And they were like, okay, he'll be the next man up. And probably that's what happened here.
Other thing, and you know, I talked about this, a lot of video guys are breaking video down on social media. You can find it on Twitter, et cetera. And I said to, you know, to Zach, to get Pitts involved. Zach has tried to get Pitts involved. Penix is not seeing him. He has schemed him open. But have you guys seen some of these schematic breakdowns where Pitts, it's this, everything you and I have been talking about. You know, if you're going to try to take things, when defenses try to take away the over-the-top, there's always another thing that's going to be open. Yeah. You see the imaginative play calling. Now, granted, when you watch, you know, Goff's got a mastery of that offense last night. But I just thought there's a lot of stuff going on around the league that doesn't look anything like us. So how much of this is the chicken and the egg? Is Penix not processing, or is Zach making it too difficult? A little bit of both. One thing for certain, I can't keep yelling at Zach Robinson because he is trying to get Pitts involved. And the quarterback even said he wanted to get Pitts involved to start the preseason. Now it's not happening.
It's not happening. All right, before we get out of here, while we're talking kickers, Younghoe Koo has signed with the Giants practice squad. So for those of you who keep saying, bring Koo back, Koo's gone. He is at least.
He did that on purpose.
I'm watching you.
Hey, guys got to earn a paycheck somewhere, man. Well,
I'll make sure they won't call me.
Yeah, Mike said it, though. You can go somewhere else and have success, right?
Matt Bryant had struggled in Tampa and reinvented his career here. We've seen it happen. Prater was really not good for us in the mid-2000s. Goes to Denver, reinvents himself. He's still checking out with Buffalo.
Yeah.
So we've seen it. I just don't want to be one of these teams where this is, we're going to have, like, when we look at the stats for 2025, we're going to have 5 kickers attempting kicks this year for this team.
We may. So, Koo has landed with the Giants again. Practice squad for him with the New York Football Giants. All right, man. Turtles coming up. We got to get out of the way. Tomorrow, guys, we're live at Flowery. Don't miss it. Hopefully, we can get more answers from Ra and figure out where this team is going. I want to believe, Mike, they're going to be able to turn the page and respond the way we need them to. But it feels like there's just a lot of stuff that has to be fixed. We'll talk to Raheem and also our player segment tomorrow starting at 2 up at Flowery. All right, Big O, let's get out of here and clear our throat. Cynthia Freeland stopped by from NFL Network. She was great talking about the block kicks this week, breaking down her thoughts on Michael Penix and our Falcons. Right. Go check out that interview. We also talked to our buddy Connor Riley, as we said, and Dave Archer. All of those are online at Odyssey.com. All right, tomorrow up at Flowery. Thursday, we're at Loyal Tavern in Roswell. And then Grindhouse Killer Burgers, one of our favorite spots, by the way. We'll be there in Athens on Friday getting ready for Bama taking on Georgia. So it's a busy, busy week, man. All right, we got to get out of here. Big O, great job behind the glass as always. My man, Day-Day, executive producing. Mike Bell, good to have you back. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, I'm a man. I'm 40. Actually, that was 18 years ago. Isn't that crazy? Mike Gundy, one of the, I mean, I don't know, cool, irascible. I don't, how do you define this guy? Well, he lasted a long time. He was 170-90, so 80 games over 500 for his career at Oklahoma State. But the problem is, when the Big 12 loses Texas and Oklahoma, you're expected to win some games. Goes 3-9 last year, off to a terrible start. He gets got. T. Boone Pickens obviously was a big fan of his back in the day, put a lot of money in that program, but is results-driven. So he's gone. He was defending his player, by the way. Guy was taking shots at a writer he thought was unfair. He later on became friends with that writer, and I always got a kick out of the guy. He definitely put his foot in his mouth, Carl, last few times. Had a bunch of 10-win seasons, but he gone.
Very interesting. 21 years. It's a long time in today's college football world. Hey, man, three fumbles in three games, you got a fumbling problem. Derrick Henry has a fumbling
problem. Tell me about it.
Now, he's not had a fumbling problem throughout his career, which has been incredible. He's sixth on the all-time touchdown list. Derrick Henry is still going strong. You guys see him running through people, running past people, running over people. But last night, after that fumble that cost them again, you have to start to believe, is this going to be a mental block for him? Because he's cost them at least two of these games that they've lost. They're 1-2, the Ravens, heading to Kansas City next week. Big issue they're facing. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
just walked into another spider web.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.